It's Harvest Public Media's Field Notes. I'm Jessica Najunas. Today on the show, all eyes on the Farm Bill. This package of agriculture food policy is revisited every 5 years. Traditional programs that support commodity crops like cotton and grain are reauthorized by Congress, and then new agricultural considerations like nutrition or conservation are sliced into the legislation. But this year, things are a bit different for Congress and the Farm Bill. There's rush order on that policy, and this might be the first year the language and funding is not up for public comment, or the typical year-long negotiation period in Washington. And during that months-long conversation, this is where industry influences tug and pull on what the Farm Bill ultimately includes. Now, this year, here's how it's expected to go down. The Ag Committee writes the thing and then sends it straight to the Super Committee. They're in charge of cutting $1.2 to $1.5 trillion from the big budget, the federal budget. Here's Harvest Public Media's Peggy Lowe on the PBS program NewsHour. She gives a pretty good explanation here after host Hari Srinivasan asks her what's up.
First, let's talk a little bit about the Farm Bill, and especially in the context of the Super Committee. Most people are thinking about the Super Committee. They're saying, oh, well, what are these congressmen and senators going to do to try to bring down our deficits? One of the things is that there's actually going to be a Farm Bill that's written and kind of tucked in there. And usually this legislation takes a very long time to hash out, and it lasts about 5 years, right?
That's right. The bill lasts for about 5 years, and typically it takes them at least a year to write it, sometimes 18 months. This year, it's on a fast track. It's going to be done by Thanksgiving, and Congress is hoping for an up-and-down vote by Christmas. So this is a highly unusual situation this year.
And that's got a lot of people talking about the Farm Bill, but those critiques may have little impact. Infamous critic of big agriculture, Michael Pollan, says this Farm Bill should be called the Food and Farm Bill, as he thinks it influences food access and what Americans eat. In a recent interview with documentary film group Nourish, he had this to say about refocusing funding for agriculture.
Why isn't the research going into polyculture instead of monoculture? Why isn't the research going into how to grow organically, how to grow without pesticides? And that will come by changes in the Farm Bill. But it isn't really a bill just for farmers. It really should be called the Food Bill, because it is the rules for the food system we all eat by.
So, Pollan says, what and how we eat should be closely linked to how food is grown. There's another alternative name for the bill, and they're calling it the Secret Farm Bill.
That was coined by our president and the co-founder of the Environmental Working Group, Ken Cook.
That's Don Carr from the Environmental Working Group. They're one of the groups that's not too happy about this fast-track-style Farm Bill.
What's really been, I think, has incensed the good food movement is that there was a lot of people looking at our broken food and farm system and looking at the opportunity to really have an open, robust public debate about the future of food and farm policy in America, and that was taken away.
Carr's group speaks for the types of farmers, urban and rural dwellers who are on the fringes of American agriculture and food. Organic farming, small to medium-sized farmers, and young farmers. These sorts of movements that don't have huge powerhouse representation across the country, like commodity growers have had in the past.
We come from the position that large-scale commodity growers that are already doing quite well, they've been having year after year of record profits, they've been doing quite well under the subsidy system. If there's a place to look for cuts, that might be the place, as opposed to, say, for instance, nutrition assistance for needy folks or conservation programs that are often the only line of defense between the environmental ravages of modern agriculture.
Organizations like the Environmental Working Group are raising the alarm because they fear the little guys will have an even lesser chance of being heard if the Farm Bill is decided behind closed doors to meet budget deficit demands. The thing is, up until this week, everyone has just been speculating about what sort of recommendations the Ag Committee would send to the Super Committee. But the Environmental Working Group on Friday leaked the 2012 Farm Bill document draft, and it shows an elimination of all direct payments to farmers. That adds up to $15 billion in savings for deficit reduction, about 65% of the total goal of $23 billion in cuts to agriculture spending. Now, to explain what this idea of direct payments to farmers means, I'm going to let you hear a little bit from the story from September. Harvest Public Media's Kathleen Masterson suggested why the elimination of direct payments might happen.
Direct payments are pretty much what they sound like. The government writes a check to farmers to boost their income. Eligibility and dollar amount are based on how many acres and what kind of crop the farmer grew in the 80s. The payments began as a way to support farmers after the 96 Farm Bill got rid of price supports, and then farmers entered some lean years. But nowadays, high grain prices have helped raise farm income to the point where, on average, it's higher than non-farm household income.
Kathleen went on to report that most economists and many farmers say the time for direct payments is past, and it looks like that's going to happen. Environmental protections are also on the chopping block. There's this program called the CRP, the Conservation Restoration Program, and it was signed into law as part of the 1985 Farm Bill. Here's Harvest Public Media's Peggy Lowe. We start off with audio from President Ronald Reagan at the bill signing.
Thank you all for the Herculean effort you put forth on behalf of America's farmers.
That year's law was different from past years because for the first time, Congress included environmental protections. One that became the most popular was the Conservation Reserve Program. The CRP set aside environmentally sensitive cropland and ended the practice of planting every inch of land available, from fence row to fence row. The CRP became very popular with farmers who could retire their land in return for annual rent payments. At the program's high point in 2007, it had idled an area larger than the state of Iowa. Along the way, it had big benefits, like restoring wetlands and providing natural habitats for wildlife.
Peggy reported that since the CRP was signed into law, 8 billion tons of soil that shouldn't have been farmed on to begin with was reclaimed by the USDA as retired. In the leaked Farm Bill document, it appears there have been cuts to this program, too. And again, that's in an effort to save money. Currently, the USDA allows for up to 32 million acres of highly erodible land to be removed from production. Now, under the new Farm Bill, that cap would be lowered to 25 million acres. That means less damaged soil acres that can qualify for the program. So that's just a few of the reports Harvest Public Media has produced leading up to the final word on the Farm Bill. And there's much more to be found at harvestpublicmedia.org, including details about another big sticking point, crop insurance. On our website, you'll also find the new Farm Bill language I cited here.
Harvest Public Media is a reporting team based in four Midwestern states: Missouri, Nebraska, Iowa, and Kansas. We're here to tell stories of the farmers who feed us and explore issues surrounding the production and consumption of food and fuel. Harvest Public Media is funded by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. You can find us online at harvestpublicmedia.org.